Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a good start to your afternoon out there.
Yeah.
Seth and James here with you. We're going to be with you for the next hour, taking your phone calls. Call up, get in the game. We want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Seth has got an article about Jordan that I wanted to get into because it involves Michael Jordan. we'll talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. We have AI Al Michaels to talk about, which is a little bit of a word kind of thing there.
Yeah. Weird.
I want to start off on two notes. Really importantly, I want to get to some breaking news that just happened a couple of minutes ago. Analysis Dick Vitale announces a cancer diagnosis ahead of his neck surgery. I want to wish him, his family, the best. Mm-hmm. Dickie V, one of our favorite personalities in college basketball of all time.
Yeah.
Basketball Hall of Famer. And Naismith, basketball Hall of Famer. And just, hard news to start with, but wanted to get that out there because that's part of why we are here. At this time slot, live and direct with you.
That's right.
So we can break news. We can get information to you as soon as possible as it's happening. And wishing him well, we'll follow that story along. We have to kind of start in certain places, Seth. One of them is the word nepotism.
Nepotism?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's all over the sports landscape right now. And it seems like it's the first time a lot of sports fans are ever hearing of nepotism. And it's a little weird, and a little weird that the way that it's being covered. And I'm talking about, of course, LeBron James' son getting drafted into the NBA last night.
Right.
So for those that didn't hear, LeBron James' son, Bronny, was picked by the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA draft. He was drafted 55th overall in the second round, 19-year-old young man.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron and Bronny are now the first father and son duo to be in the NBA at the same time.
Wow. And that's kind of cool.
Bronny says he's beyond blessed. He has been very humble throughout this whole process and really tried to kind of just be another player.
Yeah. It's really hard.
Yeah. And right now you've got every talking head under the sun, from Fox Sports to the Mouse Network to all of them. Either some people are saying that it's nepotism and, you know, he's taking a roster spot from somebody else. Others calling it pandering and, you know, they're just trying to keep LeBron. Every single storyline. For one, can we just take a breath and kind of think this is a kind of a cool moment for a second, that we've never seen this before, and that LeBron James has been in the league for 20 years. He's literally the oldest player in the NBA right now, and not only still relevant, and he's not just like he's not just a guy on the bench hanging in there or anything, or even a guy like a Vince Carter, where at the end of his career, he's more of a mentor, played about 5-10 minutes here and there. Udonis Haslam in Miami, who really never played, but he had a roster spot because of how much he meant to that team.
Right.
This is a guy who's still averaging a double-double.
Yeah.
At 40.
Which it's unheard of in basketball. I mean,
which
it's just wow.
You want a great sports conversation, everybody, in this time of year and everything. What's more impressive, what LeBron James is doing at 40 or what Tom Brady did at 44 or what have you and everything? Because I think that's a fun debate.
Ooh, that's interesting, yeah.
But what I first off want to touch on is the idea that nepotism exists in everything. And the idea that it's not professional, it's not fair, et cetera, et cetera. I thought we already figured this out when we were kids, that, you know, sometimes people get jobs that shouldn't or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to be adults about this.
Yep.
I think we also need to remember that as much as we are passionate about sports and as much as we love sports and we would literally bleed for our teams, this is a business and it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Los Angeles Lakers and you have a chance to make NBA history, you have a chance to do something before the Boston Celtics do, which I promise you that means something, and you have a chance to make LeBron happy.
Yeah.
Which may keep LeBron in L.A., which whether he was leaving or not, who knows?
Who knows?
But any of these factors, how do you not pick LeBron James's son? How do you not do that is more of the question to me. Like that they would, it would have been more surprising if they did not draft him.
Right.
This does not mean that Bronny is going to be on their G League team, on their actual NBA team. It doesn't even mean that he's going to make the roster.
That's right.
There's a lot of stuff that's got to fall into place for that young man to be able to make that team. But at this moment, it's kind of cool that it's happened. And I think the most disappointing part of this for me is I have seen one person in social media or on the Mouse Network or anything else, and I haven't had a whole lot of time to go over this necessarily, but I've done a little bit of homework on this one, and I've tried really hard to check and look over. Does anybody care how Bronny feels? Because I've seen Bomani Jones talk about this, and that's it. I've not seen anybody else mention, well, is this healthy for him? Is this what is best for him playing with his dad? A lot of these things. I would like to know what he thinks. I would like to know if this – and are you going to get a true answer from the young man? Because if I was in his shoes, I don't know how I'd answer that. You know, whether I wanted to play with my dad or not. Is it more pressure or not? Would he be better off going to a team that wasn't the Lakers aren't great, but
not really.
They're the Lakers, so they tend to get free agents, and especially when it's LeBron, guys will take less money to play for him. So that's a roster spot again, you know, coming back to that. I think that's an important part of this. And maybe the most difficult part to really get into and to really figure out right here, and I'll start rambling in a second. What's he going to call him? Like out of the court, like you definitely can't call him dad. You can't call him pops. No, you know. I mean,
I would love it to be called him pops. That would be awesome, actually. But
I mean, I think that I'm joking. I'm just trying to find a funny way to wrap this up. But I'm also kind of, you know, curious. Like, I wonder what he is going to call him.
Right.
It's an interesting, weird situation. But it's also something that nobody ever expected to happen.
Not really.
Nobody was thinking this was going to happen.
I don't remember anyone talking about this at all. And you know, I heard recently, I heard an interview with Nate Albert, the sports announcer, and someone had asked him, they were talking about, you know, the nepotism thing, you know, his Marv Albert's son. So, you know, Marv Albert, you know, one of the top sportscasters of all time, that kind of stuff. And so they asked him about that, and he was like, well, you know, one of the things is you're around it so much when you're a kid. He said he would remember listening to his dad in his office doing, practicing, you know, going over this stuff. He would, you know, watch him on TV. He would be around his dad all the time when he was working on it. So that's one of the reasons why he just learned it. He just kind of absorbed it. And he decided, okay, that's what I want to do. Nate Albert still started at the bottom. He was like doing like minor league hockey games. That's how he started. So it's one of those things. Yeah, Bronny is around his dad all the time when he was growing up. He was, you know, playing back. So I don't know. He doesn't have the skills, I don't think, that LeBron James has. But he's like one in a 100 years talent almost.
Yeah.
So you can't expect that. No. You can't expect that. It's got to be really – it's got to be tough enough to be LeBron James' son.
Right.
In the same thing that your dad's doing. That's got to be tough. To what you were saying before, how does he feel about it? Well, obviously he loves basketball. Otherwise he wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a part of it. So, yeah, I mean – to me, it's not a big deal. It really isn't. It doesn't seem to me it should be one anyway.
If this was happening during football season, nobody would be talking about it. Right. They need something to talk about. Nobody wants to say the quiet part out loud, but that's the quiet part out loud. There's nothing to talk about, so this is what they're hanging on to right now.
Right.
It involves one of the biggest athletes in the world, so it brings headlines.
Superstar, cultural person. He transcends basketball.
Truly
He's a cultural icon, yeah.
The idea of if LeBron James was a mechanic, nobody would even – you would want this. Your dad was a mechanic?
Yeah.
Oh,
took over the family business.
I trust him more. Like, and I understand that they're obviously very different worlds. But the idea of nepotism turning into this dirty word that it's turned into is so weird to me and so ridiculous. And sure, we've been doing this a lot in the last couple of years of taking words and them meaning different things and such. But with this one, it's so
it's very selective.
It truly is.
It's like, okay, this is good, but this isn't good. It's the same thing, but for some reason, these ones are better, or these ones are worse.
Name me an industry that is not littered with nepotism.
Please
find one for me, because I've been trying leading up to today, from when that young man was drafted yesterday to today, to right this moment, I've been trying to find one, and I can't. I don't think there is one industry in the world, not just in America, in the world, that isn't involved nepotism at some point. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or who do you know, or who's your connections, or anything. I mean,
or who's your daddy? No,
right. That comes up later. Or earlier? I don't know.
I don't know. Which came first? I don't know.
Chicken or an egg?
Well, I can tell you one thing, though.
It was on first.
LeBron James and Bronny James will not hit back-to-back home runs. like the Griffies yes. did. So I can guarantee you that.
They'll never have that on them.
No, they will not.
It also does. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because you have so much of this in baseball right now. You and I talk about this off air quite a bit. The Toronto Blue Jays, their whole
the
team
legacy, yeah,
basically
players,
made up of, of you know, juniors
exactly.
and everything. And it's weird how we are about this in different sports.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to happen that much in football. It's usually brothers. NFL players just don't play long enough.
Yep.
You'll see the son of so-and-so. Right now, UW just signed up T.Y. Hilton's young son.
Mm-hmm.
To be a recruit. He's a third recruit over there for a receiver for the Badgers now. So we see it in football, but it's years after a player has retired oftentimes, at least a couple of years after. In baseball, we love it in baseball.
It's shockingly,
And I wonder how much of that is nostalgia for some of us that got to see Griffey Sr., Griffey Jr., that got to see some of the Bonzes and Willie Mays and Barry Bonds talking. And I know that's not the same thing, but the relationship being it is.
Generational thing,
There's something unique and beautiful about that. We have something like that happening right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Max McGuire is playing not even 20 minutes from us, not even 5 minutes from us.
Yeah, right.
Should that young man be feel bad that he has an opportunity? Like, I joke all the time to my mom and dad because they beat themselves up about as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them all the time, I wouldn't trade them for Robin Williams and Jody Foster as my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't at all. But there are days where I wish my last name might be a little different. Wouldn't mind having a Coppola as the last name.
Hey, wouldn't that be nice?
It wouldn't be nice, man. You know, everybody, you know, you have a couple of them. Nicolas Cage changes his name from Coppola. Does that mean it's up there for grabs? Can I use that one?
Is it out there now?
James Coppola. Doesn't sound so bad.
There's probably some James Coppolas in the family.
I do feel like it'd be more Jimmy Coppola. It would probably be Jimmy Coppola, and I can't do that.
Not even for that? Can't even do that? Oh, wow.
Okay, wait. Maybe I could.
That's a tough one, man. Although, I got to say, for baseball, yes, I do believe that sometimes your name can get you drafted. It will not keep you in the bigs.
Yeah.
Look at Kevin Biggio. He was just traded. I mean, and he's been having a rough time the last couple of years. So I don't care what your name is, man. Unless you produce, you won't be staying.
No matter what the industry, oftentimes.
Yeah.
I had this at, I don't want to bring, because the boss that this happened with has passed since, and I don't feel it's a good taste. So I'm just going to say this, you know, as generic as I can. But a couple of years before I started in radio, I was working in a place. And the owner of the place made no qualms about it. His sons were going to be working with us, and he had two. And one worked really hard, and one didn't. And it was, you know, frustrating. But I also worked with plenty of other people that didn't necessarily work that hard as you'd like them to, that had no relationship to anybody.
Right.
Opportunities happen. You have to take them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about.
Right.
The game of life and everything. If you're gonna get mad, it feels like jealousy in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And like calling it without calling it. And that to me doesn't ever taste good. I don't know any situation that's made better with jealousy or just like, well, it's not fair. Well, man, what are you? If you're over 5 years old, you do not get to say it's not fair anymore. I'm sorry. Or if you're in baseball and you're an umpire, you know, it's fair, it's foul. Then you got to kind of.
That was so bad.
I would like to apologize to everybody for that joke. I'm so sorry.
Terrible baseball joke there.
We are talking a little basketball, a little baseball. Since we're talking some basketball here, though, talking a little ball, Seth,
it
seems like a perfect time to bring up the Michael Jordan article that you read. What was this about, and how did you come across this?
Okay, well, I heard it. So many things. I heard it on a baseball podcast, but one of the guys had read this article and he thought it was really fascinating because it deals with statistics. Okay, I'll give you the headline here. This is from Yahoo Sports. This is from Tom Haberstroh, who's a writer for them.
Great writer.
A closer look at Michael Jordan's 1988 Defensive Player of the Year award raises questions about its validity. And then it has a writer on there. Has LeBron James been chasing a ghost? So basically what Tom, the writer, did in this article is he went back to look at he needed to do a little digging to see Michael Jordan won the Defensive Player of the Year award in the 1987-88 season. At the end of the year before, I got to find this quote here for those, a little background on Michael Jordan, a man who played like – I don't know. What is a good way of saying it, James? You know, you could say chip on his shoulder, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or you could just say like a man possessed or something like
Michael's
that.
Body,
driven.
Michael's body, Michael's maturity, a lot of those things aged with him. One thing that never stopped being that 13-year-old, 12-year-old kid that didn't make the varsity team, that part of him never aged. Mm-hmm. I don't think that ever changed up until the point where he was going into the Hall of Fame and invited the young man that beat him to that position mm-hmm. to the Hall of Fame speech right. As example A.
yeah, right, exactly.
I don't think that part of his brain ever evolved.
Never, that never shut
One
off.
One of the fiercest competitors we will ever see.
Exactly. So in 1986-87, Jordan's third season in the league, he was incensed that coaches left him off the all-defensive teams, even though Jordan had become the first player in NBA history to register at least 200 steals and 100 blocks in the same season. In particular, it irritated Jordan that Michael Cooper of the Los Angeles Lakers won Defensive Player of the Year with 25 of the 78 votes that were cast, while Jordan received just one. Okay. Michael Jordan never won to be quiet when something upset him. Okay. So over the summer, he had a spread with Sports Illustrated, a writer by the name of Curry Kirkpatrick, who apparently became one of his dudes, I guess, interview with him. And this is the quote from Jordan in that Sports Illustrated article. Michael Cooper is great at ball denial, but check his other stats. The league gives defensive awards on reputation. It just tees me off. Okay. So my contention, this is not in the article. My contention is that this is what kind of started the whole thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So the writer goes back, he starts to look, and now this is something that in the history of the NBA has been a problem, I guess you could say, that there was, it's called home cooking, okay, that the statisticians with all the subjective stats, like in basketball, there's a lot of them. There's rebounds, not so much, but steals, blocks, that kind of thing, turnovers, those are all very subjective. So it seems like in the early days of the NBA, this was a problem that home statisticians would be really padding the stats of their star players. One of the great examples they give in here is that between the two of them, Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell both had 26, or I had together, had 26 40 rebound games, okay?
Oh my God.
Every single one of those games was at home. That raises eyebrows, okay? It really does. But one of the things, it talks about Michael's relationship with the official statistician of the Bulls, man who just retired last year.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for like 40 years or something like that, some insane thing like that. Well, he went back and watched the tape. He got the box scores out, and there's no question about it. 30% more steals at home than on the road. There's almost no denying that there were padded stats or some home cooking going on, and you couldn't ignore those stats when the voting came around. Now, he talked to Bob Ryan, the old columnist for the Boston Globe, who was around back in the old days, man.
The great Bob Ryan, yes.
And he said, you know, because he voted for Jordan for Defensive Player of the Year because he didn't vote him for MVP. He voted for Larry Bird that year. It was kind of a sop to Jordan to vote him for Defensive Player of the Year. And Bob Ryan's like, it didn't matter back then. I mean, the awards were not like they were now. The MVP awards, you know, in the NBA, it hasn't caught fire yet. It's not like it is now, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Basically, and Jordan never came close to those stats again. So it really looks like, now there's no proof, of course, there's nothing there, but there's a lot of smoke there, you know, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that really indicates that in all likelihood, because Michael Jordan really wanted that award, he was helped out a little bit by the home statistician over there in Chicago. Now I do want to note that the NBA today is much closer. Okay. The way in the home stats are almost like margin of error.
They've basically
solved this problem because of, you know, all the way that we can track stats now and that sort of thing. You're not beholden to the statistician itself, you know. But this apparently went around the whole league. This was a very common practice in the 80s and the 90s. So
certainly is noteworthy. It wasn't just Michael that was getting
home
cooking.
Exactly.
And it's interesting notes about the former players, the greats that we talk about with the 40 rebound games.
Yeah.
Those are good notes. I do want to send a big compliment to Tom and Amin. They do a Basketball Illuminati show, a podcast, and do a really nice job with it. They cover things and not everybody covers and get really in depth on subjects like this, and I always appreciate that kind of a different reporting, different kind of work that's done, and they're both really good at what they do. I I will say from this right out the gate, does not change one single thing about how I feel about Michael
Jordan. Oh, absolutely not.
Not at all. Not even close. No. This stuff is important when we're telling the history of basketball. We're telling the history of sport. I could not come back at this and say, well, this doesn't matter. This isn't important. And yet at the same time, I'm the person who was just screaming and so excited that the Negro League stats are being brought into the MLB finally.
Yeah, right.
Finally. Mm-hmm. A couple of decades late, but it's finally happening.
Yep.
And how cool that is and how great it is to see all these things. And I don't know. I've been kind of a nerd about some of this and getting into like, so-and-so is now higher than so-and-so in the rankings. And I think that's cool. I don't like picking and choosing on my sports. If I like stats here, it's hard for me to say that about over there. I do think integrity matters, certainly, in sports. I, again, though, will come back to it's an entertainment job. And you know what? There wasn't a bigger player on the planet than Michael Jordan. No. You could give him an extra award. Yep. I could see the NBA doing that. Right. I could see the voters doing that. I do think it is noteworthy, too, though. When we talk about the greatness of Michael Jordan, how good he was, I don't know if other people do this. So many people just focus on the basketball or the offensive side of things.
Right.
I focus on the hustle of the player and the relentlessness of the player. It's what has always stood out to me about Michael Jordan. Even long before he was great, he was a hustler, and he just seemed to really want it more than most. Which is one of those tired phrases we use in sports. But if it was ever evident in a player, it was probably Michael Jordan.
Right.
So I do think it's. I hope this doesn't make a bunch of like excuses for people about his defense. He wasn't great at defense. No, he was.
No.
And
that's
worked
what I'm
gonna, at it.
Yeah, he was. Actually, an excellent defender. That's the thing. It's just that for whatever reason,
we've gotten so far away in the NBA from the two-way player, the guy that could play offense and defense, and do them both at that level that Michael did it.
Absolutely,
we've gone away from what is greatness. Now, can you score 30, 40 points a game? We're ready to anoint you as a great player and everything. Ask the Atlanta Hawks about Trae Young in that. I don't know how we fix. I know the only way we fix this is if we actually start at a young age and we start getting these kids younger. I've been rambling about this for a little while now. People are tired of seeing a foreign player drafted in the first top five and, a lot of these things and what's happening to American basketball and blah, blah, blah. It is self-inflicted.
It is.
It is self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. We did this to ourselves. We took, you're this tall, you're this size, you stand over there with the forwards. Mm-hmm. You're this tall, this size, you stand with the guards. Forwards, rebound. Get used to that. Go ahead and rebound, get inside, get in the paint. All you other guards, get used to shooting, get used to passing. So from a young age, these young players are getting ball handling skills, while the forwards aren't getting anything like that. When you look at foreign players, specifically, we'll take, Victor Wembanyama, for example, who is 7'4 and has the handles of a point guard. They ask him what he wants to do. Hey, kid, what do you want to play? Well, I want to play point guard. All right, go ahead. Take it down.
Show us what you got, yeah.
And so Victor Wembanyama spends the next 10 years of his life getting ball handling skills. So when he comes into the Euros, long before the NBA, into the Euros, he's already making an example of how good this can be and everything. We can fix this. We need to start training these players, these kids that want to play ball. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not saying you got to give them whatever they want. I want to be the coach. Oh, great. Dang it.
Well, if you're LeBron James, then you can be.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, for that matter.
Young LeBron or Michael. But it's more of, learn a complete skill set. Learn a complete skill set. I don't care if you are 6'10 and 250 and you don't have the greatest shooting skills. Work at it. Work at that. Yeah. Work at ball handling. Because even if you're not going to be shooting, you're going to be handling that rock. We can fix a lot of those things.
Yep.
I do want to wrap up before we go to break, mentioning we were talking about the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. Your Milwaukee Bucks selected A.J. Johnson. A bit of a project, but also some upside with this young man, too. Like a lot of this draft class, it's pretty much what I could say about almost every NBA kid that was drafted just over the last night. If they're in the G League or if they're in the college basketball, this is what is pretty much being said about them, because most of these people talking about it do not watch college basketball and do not know who these players are.
No.
That does not mean they're not good. That does not mean that they didn't deserve to be drafted. They deserve as much respect as a star.
Right.
And it's really been insulting to see the coverage of this. If you're these young people, if you're their family members.
Yeah.
But moving past that, AJ Johnson may have had the coolest intro to the NBA as he walked through the crowd. He wasn't invited to the green room, but he had a ticket and he was there.
He actually bought tickets to it, which is so cool.
And he walks through the crowd to go talk to Adam Silver. You know,
that's
all pretty
that cool.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen a cooler. I don't think I've watched.
Cool cat.
I have been watching drafts literally my whole life, and I've never seen a cooler entrance, I think. So a shout out to him, and that was pretty well done. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. We'll talk rafters. We'll talk about AI, Al Michaels, and we'll talk to you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Get in the game on WFHR's Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Hope you're having a good Friday out there, everyone. Thanks so much for joining Seth and I. We're here to take your phone call, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. I want to send a quick shout out to our GM, our engineer, really the soul of this station, Mr. Chuck Gennaro.
Yep.
Chuck got me hooked up with one of those little screens.
Yes,
so I shouldn't
a plosive screen.
Yeah, purple people eaters. Purple people eaters.
I've been listening. I've been actually paying attention, and I think it's working. It does sound pretty good.
I've never sounded better.
Yeah, right.
We are here to take your calls. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. We'll get into Rafters conversation in a little bit. Want to talk about that. Certainly, I have a couple of other angles I want to go to, different things I wanted to talk about. I'm going to be honest, too. I'm trying to avoid the Jordan Love contract talk. It feels like that's what everybody in sports talk is talking about in this state, and I just feel like it's much ado about nothing. There are two scenarios there. He is going to sign a new contract, or he is not going to sign a new contract.
One or the other.
And nobody, including him, probably knows the answer to that.
Not right now.
So there's not really any new information to discuss on that until they actually sign him. I think what is a much more worthy conversation to have is what is going on with a very well-run organization that they didn't get this done sooner. That is more curious to me because that's a very smart, very well-run organization. And I'm curious to know why this doesn't happen sooner.
Right.
I would like answers on that. I don't deserve answers, but I'd love to know what the thought process is that I'm going to let the market decide this for me. What business is that a good model for?
Specifically not for the NFL and quarterbacks.
And any excuses you have for that organization as, well, they wanted to do this, they wanted to do that. Well, they only have a small sample size of this young man. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
It's going back to the Rodgers well. I mean,
So you made this mess. You made this. Either go and sign. You have to sign him. Let's not act like this is a debate. For one, he's a valuable quarterback. The most valuable thing in sports. Not just in football, in all of professional sports, there is nothing more valuable than a young quarterback. The only thing more valuable than a young quarterback is a young quarterback on a rookie contract. You blew that.
It's affordable.
That window's gone. So now you made your bed. If you don't sign him to a long-term contract, how does that make your organization look? What does that say for the future of your organization when you let go of a three-time MVP because you thought his kid could do it, which he's proven he can. Again, I know it's a small sample size. I'll take it. I feel like you got enough to go on here.
Man, the NFL has turned. This is what the league has turned into.
Dang it, we did it. Now we're talking about it.
Yeah, see, now we're talking about it. Well, I'll get this point out, and then we'll move on. All right. This is what the NFL is right now. You have to take the leap. You have to do it. That's why Chicago did what they did. That's why they got rid of Justin Fields to draft Caleb Wimble. Because you don't know. He could be the next Mahomes. He could be the next whatever. He may not be.
Could be the next Ryan Leaf.
Exactly. Yeah. Who knows? But you got to take the chance. And now what the Packers have done is they may, let's say they go through the year, nothing happens. Jordan Love has an amazing season. Deep into the playoffs. Maybe they don't win the Super Bowl, but an amazing season. They're going to be priced right out of town. There's no way they can afford it.
No.
Because look at, I hate going back to this too. Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
The money he got. I mean,
it's incredible.
It's insane.
Jay, we're a year past it, but Jalen Hurts and the contract he got. And that was insane to me. And he took a team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was insane to me, let alone the Trevor Lawrence contract.
Yes.
There is literally every day, this is only going up.
Yep.
This is not, and it has been since you were in this position at the end of last season and making this decision of what to do with this young man and if that you should sign him to a long-term deal or not.
Bite the bullet.
They're such a smart-run franchise. That's why it's shocking to me. If this was happening, I don't know, in Jacksonville or some other places, it might not be as surprising. Even Indianapolis.
Panthers.
Panthers is a better example. I didn't mean to say Jacksonville, actually. I meant to say Panthers. We're not in football season.
No, it's my fault.
That's all right. And you know what? If we had AI, maybe that would have been corrected.
Maybe could have made that better decision, right?
Or maybe AI would have messed it up too. Who knows? I want to get into this one, and I'm going to play something for the audience here, just in case you have not heard this. Al Michaels is coming back to NBC's Olympic coverage, but not the real Al Michaels. More of, well, how would you say this, Seth? Instead of Al Michaels,
the AI Michaels.
Ah, yes, nicely done. Yes,
you can't spell Al without AI. Actually, wait, that doesn't work. Well, the I kind of looks like an L.
It does. It fits. It works enough. It's close enough for me. An AI-generated version of Al will give Olympic updates for Peacock subscribers, and they'll be customized to focus on the sports you care about, plus things like viral moments, athlete backstories, and other categories. And fake Al will even address you by name. The real Al Michaels had to sign off on this, and he's totally cool with it, apparently. Quote, when I was approached about this, I was skeptical but obviously curious. Then I saw a demonstration detailing what they had in mind. I said, I'm in. I think Al Michaels, you can make the argument, as far as just overall sports. I'm not talking about specific sports. Mm-hmm. Specific sports, I love Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker is in a category of his own. Nobody did it better than Vin Scully.
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody. That's baseball, though.
Yep, that's baseball.
I'm talking about guys that did multiple sports, mm-hmm. Olympics, and all that stuff. We've never heard anybody like Al Michaels.
Yep.
Never heard anybody that could transition to all the different things that he has done, especially in his prime. Al would be the first to tell you he's not in his prime anymore. He's on Amazon Prime. And... that's a paycheck.
That's
a paycheck.
Get paid, man.
It's
a lot of money.
Big paycheck.
Yeah.
And I imagine that Al, while he was skeptical, got that saw the
dump
numbers.
Truck or the dump truck came up into the house with the money. Just let's just put this right here.
You know what? Doesn't seem so bad. Doesn't seem so bad. I want to play a little of this for you. This sounds like, everybody. So go ahead and take a listen to AI Al Michaels.
Big hole exploits it. Is able to get in there. Spearheaded by Wentz. Still looking for that tight end. So they work the middle, but not deep enough. Right in his face. Hunter got in there, and I think just got a piece.
So
What is that?
Yeah, that's...
not sure what that was.
There was a different example that I wanted to find, too. But
that's all right.
I'm going to find that, though. I'm going to find that because that was not the example I necessarily wanted.
Gotcha.
But, when it comes to the sound, I really do want to play it for everybody because I don't think it really is that convincing.
Mm.
It does sound like him.
It does, yep.
But it doesn't sound like him. The AI is never going to be able, like, it's interesting because you hear it and you can hear the breaths in between his words and things, and that's very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But then you hear him saying words, and they just don't have that tone, that context, that emotion, that
the uncanny valley. Yeah,
there is no replacing that. And AI, and even any Amnoff, you know, a novel or anything like that, has never been able to do that, even in science fiction.
No.
Even science fiction writers have not done that.
Right, exactly. And their wildest dreams, right.
Yeah. I don't think that necessarily, I really think there's other things to focus and worry about. I don't mean you take your eye off the ball. I mean, AI is something to keep an eye on.
Yep.
But I mean, the worry about it. What I think is more silly is the people investing in it and the people thinking that this is better than getting somebody other than Al Michaels to do it or something like that. What worries me is people losing jobs.
Yeah.
people were hearing this conversation about LeBron and James's son taking a roster spot. I want to hear as much focus about who. What about the announcer that could have been doing that? That just lost the job to AI.
Mm-hmm.
These production companies are still licking their wounds from the strikes, mm-hmm. and they're still upset, and they're going to get their revenge any way they can. They're going to do this kind of stuff and lean into AI over the next 3 years while these contracts are going mm-hmm. on, and the only people that are going to suffer are other entertainers, other creatives, and the audiences.
Right.
And we have to pay attention to that part right. of this.
You have to realize something, and I think James can back me up on this one. If any industry could get rid of all the workers, they'd be so happy. Mm. If they could find a way to do the job without having to pay someone, they would be so happy. This is something they're looking for. That's why you see all of this AI stuff coming up right now. That's why we're looking at it, is because they want to get rid of everybody because they'll make more money.
Yeah.
Except the people that were making the money can't buy it. And wait a minute, there's a flaw in this.
There's a flaw in this thinking. That's not going to work too well.
No.
424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Looking at your Rafters real quick. Going to be a fun weekend for the Rafters. Whether we win or lose, we got some fun things going on at the ballpark for our Rafters. And boy, that matters right now. Being honest. It's been rough. The team will tell you that themselves. It's been rough going this first half.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a handful of things that... First off, I trust that coaching staff. They have proven themselves.
They've proven themselves good, yeah.
I think that these players not only in good hands, but in good hands for the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And while we may not be getting the W's we want, every play, every round, every game that these guys are playing, they are building chemistry. They are getting better at their craft, and they can take that into the second half as well.
Right.
Even when you lose, you mm-hmm. still got that going for you. You still have the reps. I look at those things and think that's a positive. And it's baseball in the summer, man. Yeah, I mean we
can't
love
go wrong.
It.
You can't go wrong with baseball in the summer.
Rafters hoping to be able to play this game tonight. It's 6:20 start time. A handful of minutes after we're done. And, of course, tomorrow's game will start at 6:20 as well. That one will be in Fond du Lac as well. Sunday, back home, 12:50 start time as we wrap up this four-game series with Fond du Lac, hopefully with a W, on Free Family Day night over at Witter Field.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun night. It's going to feature various children's TV characters. They're going to show up with at least – and if you show up with at least one adult and one child, you get to receive a free ticket.
Hey, how about that?
This can be done on the day of the game only. Family Fun Day, pregame game. Games will be played with the kids. Rafters players are going to play catch with the kids and everything.
That's cool.
Going to be fun. And, of course, the concession special, $3 ice cream in a mini helmet.
In the mini helmets.
Got to get me one of them helmets.
Ask for a big size helmet.
Yeah.
Say, can I have an extra large helmet?
Yeah. And a jersey.
And
a bat. I got my own glove. I can play left field.
I was like, wait a minute. How does that help you eat ice cream? Wait a minute. I don't understand this.
Might be trying to still live some dreams out over there at Witter Field. Find out more about your Rafters at northwoodsleague.com, northwoodsleague.com. I did want to mention the standings as well. If you haven't been taking a look, I don't blame you. I get it. It's been a rough season.
It's been rough.
But as far as it looks for us right now in this first half with the Rafters, the Rafters are in fourth place right now in the Great Lakes West Division, Wausau Woodchucks in first by a mile almost. Well, yeah. not necessarily. Them and Madison are neck and neck.
Mm.
But Lakeshore is right there, and then the Rafters are right up there at 13 and 17 on the season.
Ugh.
So again, let's support these boys.
Start fresh in the second half of the season.
Home field advantages and everything.
Yeah.
And make sure to get to Winter Field whenever you can. And of course, whenever you can't, we got you covered. Every hit, every win of Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR all season long. Seth and I are going to take a quick time out, check in with our partners. When we come back, we'll have more playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome everyone to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to follow Quality Plus Printing on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the cool things they are doing over there. Mm-hmm. And join us every Wednesday about 8:45-ish. Phil Hartley joins us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Wicked Awesome.
It's Wicked Awesome. We have a lot of fun with that one.
Wicked little critter.
Big shout out to Phil and the gang and our friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Buy local, support local, support those that support us. And be a part of the team, everybody. Reach out to us. We get a lot of sponsorship opportunities.
That's hard to say, especially on a Friday, almost night. It's been a long week.
My throat is just barely hanging in there. Everybody in my personal life is really happy with this new schedule, because by the time I get to the weekend, my voice ain't working.
You're just not talking anymore.
I don't have to worry about James talking anymore. A little bit of breaking news. Atlanta is trading Dejon Murray to the Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr. and 2 first-round picks, as Atlanta is starting the rebuild. The next domino to fall, will be Trae Young being traded somewhere. That'll be interesting to see a lot of the moving chairs in the NBA. And we started our show mentioning this. Dick Vitale analysis for basketball analysis.
Yes. mostly college, but yes.
Announced his cancer diagnosis ahead of a neck surgery. We're wishing Dickie V well and wishing the best for him.
Yep.
So I came across something that I thought was kind of interesting, Seth, as we're wrapping up our show here. And please, please, please feel free to call up. Join the conversation. 715-424-2600. Get in the game. How'd you like to face any pitcher anytime? Now you can with MLB's new Traject Tech.
Ooh.
Traject Tech.
Ooh.
This is an interesting one that's going on right now. So this is something that a lot of baseball players right now are using this tech to prepare for pitchers, especially pitchers that they have not played against before.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And now Willie Calhoun figured this out a little bit ago when he was going to be facing off against the Los Angeles Angels, and he queued up on the Tractor Arc, the cutting edge machine that has quickly become a go-to throughout the industry for its ability to replicate major league pitchers. Calhoun called up the Yankees high leverage relievers, most of whom he had never faced, and tracking as many pitchers as he could over the course of a couple of innings when he was summoning face Luke Weaver in the bottom of the eighth, so he felt ready when he was in this situation.
Wow.
It's a wild kind of interesting thing that is happening with MLB right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so unique to the sport. I don't know another sport that could do something like this. I couldn't be Patrick Mahomes and I want to prepare for this defense. I don't know if you could do that.
No. That'd be too hard to do, yeah.
This is very unique for baseball and it's pretty cool. And I think it's something that it's exciting going forward. Mm-hmm. And maybe a little, I'm curious to know what people think and how this might affect the game and all of that. I'm open to hearing anybody's conversations about that. But what I really want to do is ask if you could play this, you could do this, what pitcher would you love to face off against?
Oh, my gosh.
Any pitcher in MLB history, who would you like to face off with? 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app, and thank you for downloading the app.
You know what? First of all, this would be an amazing if they decided to spin this off into like an entertainment thing.
Yeah,
this thing would go like crazy. People would be just lining up to play this.
Put
thing,
this
man.
In Dave and Buster's or whatever.
Gosh,
and
yeah. Call up whatever pitcher, like you said, any pitcher in history.
Any pitcher in history.
How cool would that be?
You think you
and
could
terrifying
and terrifying? Yes. You thought you went right where I went. You went right where I went. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. Immediately. The first pitchers I think of: Bob Gibson, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson. The first three off the top of my head that I
biggest,
thought of.
Meanest pitchers out there.
It's something about I almost want to be John Kruk. I almost want to be one of my favorite moments in baseball history of John Kruk just sitting there, Randy Johnson.
At the All-Star game. Yeah, oh, my gosh, yes.
And John Kruk's like, no, I'm not getting bad in that box.
No, because he threw it right over his head. And that's one of the funniest on-field things of all time. Oh, my gosh.
Even if it's a computer-animated Bob Gibson, just to have an a glimpse of an idea. You're not going to get the true idea, but just a glimpse of an idea of what it's like to face him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I get a hit off him or not,
who
I'm not
going
to get a hit off him. Yeah, who cares? I get to have a glimpse of an idea of what it was like to go up against or Randy Johnson with that height difference.
Mm-hmm.
And him, do we ever think about this? Randy Johnson as tall as he was, and then Randy Johnson on top of a pitching mound. Like,
that's, with super long arms. No, I can't. How did anyone, exactly, how did anyone ever get a hit off of him? That's what I want to know.
How?
Especially if you're a left-hander. Forget it. If you're a left-hander, man.
It's incredible. I think this is kind of an interesting tech. I'm sure there's an interesting conversation to be had about is this help patterns too much? If you are a pitcher, are you okay with this? You know, there's a lot of that to it. Now, I'm welcome to having that conversation, but I thought this was more of a fun angle on it.
I would go after the guys that had like funky deliveries, like Louis Tiant or something like that. Guys that had like, you know, like these weird windups and stuff. That would be fun.
Didn't Steve Carlton have a weird line? Or am I thinking of I'm mixing him up with Tom Seaver or something?
Tom one of those guys Seaver had more of an interesting one. He had the drop and drive, which meant that meant he got really low and he would use his lower body mostly. Yeah. That's how, I mean, some of the best pitchers of all time did that. I mean, Nolan Ryan did that. Roger Clemens did that. They had these massive lower trunks, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how they generated their speed and their power. Seaver was one of those guys. So it looked like the ball was actually coming up.
Yeah.
Because he got so, Roy Oswalt, oh my gosh, can't believe we did that, was another one of those guys that had that kind of pitching style that it looked like the ball was coming up because of his trajectory when he was throwing it. But I would like to see like a Hideo Nomo. How about Hideo Nomo?
Oh, man.
You remember him with the tornado windup that he had?
Yes.
How cool would that be to see that coming at you?
Even calling up a Jim Abbott, just so from that position to be able to see how he flipped the glove.
Yes.
I think that would be kind of cool.
That'd be fascinating.
Is there a pitcher that you have in mind? Is there a pitcher that you would pick?
I'm trying to think, there's a couple of actual Twins pitchers. I think Frank Viola would be interesting.
I loved Frank Viola.
But he wasn't like scary or anything. He was just a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
I would like to face Burt Blyleven's curveball.
Nice.
Because it was during its time, it was considered the best curveball in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, unhittable, until he hung it and then 50 people hit home runs off it. But everyone said that his curveball was one of the best. Just to be able to, like, it was one of those knee bucklers where you can't, I just can't swing, kind of thing.
I just got excited because I thought of a pitcher I hadn't thought of last night, Dave Stewart. Another intimidating pitcher.
Oh, my God.
What is wrong with me?
Until he says something, and then he's not intimidating at all.
True.
He had a really high voice.
That is so true. That is so true. I want to get into our weekend lineup a little bit before we get out of here, everybody, because we've got some really fun, exciting things going on. I mentioned Rafter Baseball all weekend long. Boys of summer are busy all weekend. Be sure to be here for Rafter Baseball at 6:20 the next couple nights and at 12:50 on Sunday. Looking forward to that. Coming up on July 1st and 2nd, no games, so get your games in while you can.
Do a little break for the boys.
Tomorrow, we got our weekend lineup kicking off with Outdoors with Dan Small. Looking forward to that. 7 a.m., Sunshine Polka Show.
Woo!
Join our guy Tim Hubbelt for a great hour of polka that he scours the universe to find and brings you the most unique polka you're going to hear.
Indeed.
And one of the better talkers in radio, too.
He's great. He's great.
Check out Terry Talks Nutrition from 8 to 9. Our friends at Family Natural Foods bring us one of the icons and godfathers of the supplement industry, and that is Terry Lemron, who really, I mean, more than most, not only knows his stuff, but cares about his clients, his people. It's a great hour, a very informative hour. Encourage you to check that out. Stick around from 11 to noon for Over the Back Fence.
Yes.
This is your call-in show. Seth runs this show. Tell him about it, Seth.
Well, call in. That's all.
Call in.
It's a swap show. If you want to, you know, buy or sell stuff from your friends and neighbors, call in with that. Anything else you want to talk about, it doesn't matter. You guys seem to call every time James does the show. You call in and give him a hard time, which is no one gives me a hard time. Should I want that? I don't know. Does that mean you don't care about me?
Yeah, right. It's one of those weird feelings. You're like, wait a minute. It's a fun show. It's our live community billboard show.
Yep. Call talk in. About events and stuff too. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, garage sales we want to hear about.
Yep.
We also want to hear about how we can make that hour better.
Yes.
I thought Pam brought up an interesting point a little while ago about maybe moving it to earlier on a Saturday.
Maybe that kind of thing.
There's options there with that. Not only does Civic encourage us to tinker if need be, but the man making these calls in Chuck Gennaro is going to go ahead and do what's best for the audience every time.
Yeah.
So always feel free to get us your feedback, everybody.
Yes.
We want to give you the radio you want, not the radio we want. It's the radio you want that we want to do here.
Yes, indeed.
And of course, Sundays, we've got a great lineup for you. We want to encourage you from 5 until 9 to stick around here at WFHR. We ease you into the work week and your Sunday night the right way. Director's cut from 5 to 6. Got a great one lined up for you this Sunday.
Yep.
But what I want to focus real quickly on coming up, we are going to have Jane Matinere and Greg Bach on with us. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. That is going to kick off our Civic series. Mm-hmm. After interviewing with them, we're going to interview with Pam and Chuck from here at the station. We will have Seth and Melissa being interviewed, the rest of our staff. I want to put a little highlight and do a little focusing on our team here mm-hmm. and give everybody kind of a little look behind the curtain of us and a little more about us.
Lots of changes going on. So it's nice to reintroduce ourselves.
We'll have our friends from WRCT on as well as we celebrate their programs, other local theaters, and we want other local musicians. Everybody on, reach out to me and get mm-hmm. on the show. James.Maliff@civicmedia.us. James.Maliff@civicmedia.us. Be sure to join us for Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8.
Yeah, you're all going down.
Yeah, going down.
Everyone's going down. I did my up show, now I got to do my down show. So it goes with sports, first down, touchdown. Perfect. I mean, there
nicely
you go.
Done.
So
nicely done.
It'd be some great songs, so check it out.
I'm immediately thinking of a bunch of downtown, and some of those. And there's some really good ones. It's one of our favorite shows. Check out Seth Faces the Music, 6 to 8 every Sunday. And after that, from 8 to 9, put on your headphones and your CD player, and you try not to have it skip as you're walking, and check out Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. We play anything from 1990 to 1999, and I want your requests. Mm-hmm. James.Maliff@civicmedia.us. Got a brand new episode for you this Sunday. We're going punk.
Punk, man.
Oi, oi, oi.
Going the punk. 90s version of punk, which took a lot of different trails. It was really interesting to go through all the songs you picked. It's really it was fun. I enjoyed it.
This was fun. Thanks for hanging out with us, Seth.
Yeah, great.
And thank you for everybody joining us all week long. Our first full week of Playmakers. Congrats, everybody. Now we're going to the showers.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you soon.
We really need one.
Yeah, badly.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.